It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Evening, everyone. Welcome along to the Rangers Rabble phone-in on a Monday evening. I'm your host, Brian, tonight, and I'm joined by the ever-reliable Wolf and Davey. Boys, how are we?
Much better than this time last week. Thanks, Brian. Yep.
Kind of nervous tension for me, Brian. You know, yesterday's result, obviously a positive. However, this squad have still to convince me.
Absolutely. And it's your show, guys. This is your chance to get your points across all things Rangers, the game yesterday, the team selection going forward, how it's going to look. It's all about what you think. So give us a phone. We'll let you know when the phone lines are open. We're on live on Facebook, X, or Twitter, as you used to call it, and YouTube. So, yeah, we'll speak about the game yesterday. And, Davey, it was a surprise with some of the selections yesterday, wasn't it?
Well, I think the manager threw us an early curveball when we all saw that Connor Goldson wasn't in the starting lineup, Brian. It has been coming in terms of his performances. They've not been good enough, and it doesn't matter sort of what position that you hold in the hierarchy of the squad. If performances aren't cutting it, then you have to come out the team. And perhaps Clement was a bit polite to Goldson in saying that he's brought him out because he was due a rest and he looked leggy and he's played a lot of games. But if you look on the balance of how he's performed, we could go back to the Motherwell game where he got ragdolled by Theo Bear, and it's been a calamitous performance. And there's been at least one major mistake in every game he's played since then. Benfica, Celtic, Ross County, you know, it's just been a continual run of errors. So Leon Balogun coming back in is well deserved, because other than his rash sending off at Parkhead, he has been a consistent performer when he had been in the team this season. And when he got a run of games under Clement, we certainly looked a lot stronger and a lot more solid at the back. So a welcome return for Balogun. I think the biggest surprise to that was that he played on the right-hand side and didn't play on the left-hand side. And I think you're seeing there's still going to be that problem in our back line, I think, going forward, because John Souter was horrendous yesterday. And he, you know, if you're the manager looking at that, you'd be thinking about pulling him out for the next game on the back of that performance. And I think, well, we're just lucky enough that Hearts weren't potent enough to cause us any real threat, because a better team would have punished Souter yesterday for the mistakes he made.
Very much so. Very much so. And Wolf, as Davey's just saying there, you obviously automatically thought that Goldson dropping out of the team, we'd have seen Souter going straight into, you know, the right back berth at centre half, but he stayed in his left sided position, didn't he?
Yeah, I was noticed that as soon as I lined up. I thought, why is he not on the right hand side of the defence? I think Davey saying he was horrendous is probably doing him a bit of a disservice. He started off okay and then had a sticky spell, maybe in the middle third of the game. And see if we came back on it again. I haven't watched the game back, I've only seen it live and watched the highlights, so I'm maybe not remembering. Maybe was worse than he appeared at the time. But the middle, I would say probably from just before half time to about 70 minutes, he really wasn't great. I mean, he nearly sold the jerseys a couple of times. But I think I this is a bit harsh, Davey, but it's all about opinions. Opinions are like bottoms, everybody has one. I was very, very surprised. I mean, the thing that gets me with the team selection, my daughter, who attends the games, I mean, she was on her way down after her birthday night out in Dundee. She was getting dropped off by pals heading back to England. And the team came out. All she texted me was, "Well, he's actually done it," is what she said. And I knew exactly what she meant. What she meant was he's dropped Conor Goldson. Because the whole support's been talking about it for weeks, that, you know, he seems bulletproof. It's an odd time to drop an ever-present for a semi-final, but the manager came out and said he was going to rest him against Dundee, but Balogun hadn't been well, so he couldn't rest him against Dundee, which says a lot for what he thinks about Leon King and any other centre-halves that we might have working about. Ben Davies, for example, although his argument for that would be he's not played, so he wouldn't have been able to do 90 minutes anyway. So, but yeah, as I said after the Celtic game, I thought I'm taking Goldson off and stop his time against them. We probably meant he was going to rest him for the Dundee game, which subsequently got cancelled. So I expect him to get rested, dropped, however you want to put it, against Ross County, which obviously didn't happen. Big call by the manager, got away with it. But as Davey says, the fact that Hearts didn't really offer a lot up front, the reason you take Goldson out of there, he was getting ragdolled by big strikers, as Davey also said. And Hearts just didn't do that. I mean, Lawrence Shanklin doesn't seem to play that way when he plays against us for whatever reason, you know. Whether it was because Balogun nullified him, or it's just, I just think he drops too deep when he plays against us, but we're not here to talk about Hearts. It was a big call. It'll be interesting to see if Goldson gets back in on Sunday against St Mirren. If he goes back in, as Davey says, does he drop Souter? Because Souter's wasn't great yesterday. Or does he go with Souter? Does he move Souter to the right side of the centre back position? You know, play him in beside Tavernier, and then leave Balogun there, but put him to the left. He maybe left Souter where he was because it was Sterling. It was in a left back. And Souter's played left side centre back when he's been in the team this season. Obviously, because he's been in beside Goldson. So maybe the fact that Sterling was there was why he left Souter there. Whereas if Ridvan had been there, who is a natural left back, he may then have done the switch. So, again, a lot of it depends on whether Ridvan comes back or not.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, we're told that he's getting close to a first-team return. So, sooner the better as far as I'm concerned. But the phone lines are open.
Sorry, Brian. The thing that really concerns me about Ridvan, well, we're told he was very, very close to the Old Firm game.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was, what, 3 games ago?
He's still
nowhere to be seen. So yeah. was he actually close to making it then? Has he had a setback? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just an interesting thing to ponder.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the phone lines are now open, 0141 628 7237. You'll get through to Martin and you will get put through to the guys. I think another welcome addition to the team, Davey, was the inclusion of Diamande. I thought he had a really good game yesterday. He was very the cool head in the midfield, wasn't he? He won a lot of balls and, you know, did a lot of donkey work, didn't he?
Absolutely, Brian. I think what went in our favour yesterday as well was also the size of the pitch at Hampden. It allows good players to play football, and Mohamed Diamande is a very good technical player. He can receive the ball with his back to goal. He's good on the half turn. He looks to play forward at every opportunity. And yesterday, he had a player in Todd Cantwell who was looking for the ball in every opportunity. And I think they exploited Hearts in the fact that they sat off us and allowed them to play. And I think as the game grew on, you seen Cantwell grow into it, and he became, you know, much more of the Todd Cantwell that we saw towards the tail end of last season. And for me, you know, that's a bonus going forward. We can only look, at utilising that, and perhaps maybe it's perhaps too late, but maybe just now we've found the right balance in midfield.
Yeah, very much so. And we have our first caller tonight, Davey. Hello, Davey. How are you doing?
It's Andrew.
Hello, it's
Are you through? How are you doing? Are you there, Davey?
Brian, I think they call us. I think they call us Andrew.
Oh, is that Andrew? Is it? Sorry. Oh, sorry. After, sorry. Yes, yeah, sorry, no. Andrew. How are you doing?
Not bad, Brian. Sorry, I thought there was somebody waiting to come on there.
No, how are you doing?
No, I was just. Yeah, I'm fine, Brian. Fine. How are you keeping?
Not bad. What's on your mind tonight?
I just, again, much better performance, more like it yesterday. That's what we all want to see. And I think Rangers now under Clement have got that front four just about right, I would say. It was a shame that, Sima had to go off basically in the right wing there. McCausland's a good young lad, but he's still got to learn his trade, I feel you guys. The one worry, again, I have is why does he persist in playing John Souter? Souter was bought because he was brilliant. And the right of a back three, I believe, when he came from was it Hearts? We got him for nothing. And I'd like either to see him played on the right side or else sold. One of the two. What's your take on that?
I'll let you have a go at that, Wolf. Souter. John Souter.
As we said, I mean, I think Davey overplayed it when he said he was he was as bad as he was. I think John Souter needs a run in the team on the right hand side of the centre back, as we've just been discussing. I've just given you my reasons why I think he kept him where he kept him. Because when he played with Hearts, he always played as the right sided centre back, and he's come in and he's done a job for us. And he is always prone. And I know what Andrew's saying, because he is always prone to a mistake. I mean, Souter, you're getting a mistake out of him probably every game. I would say you get a fairly major mistake out of him. Whether we can get a settled back line, as in the four across the back settled, that he might be able to play that out of himself, I don't really know. But I'd certainly be keeping him about the building, because he's not the worst. And the amount of rebuilding we're going to have to do, we can't get rid of everybody. You know, there's already calls for Goldson's head. Ben Davies is obviously going to go. Manager obviously doesn't fancy Leon King. So there's three centre halves arguably you have to replace. If you get rid of Souter, there's four centre. I mean, that all costs money. That's money we don't really have. So I'm not saying keep him on as a main starting centre back, but I certainly wouldn't be getting rid of him.
And David, do you think he would sort of benefit and play better if he was on his preferred right side?
He could perhaps play better, Brian, but I think, I'm going to disagree with Wilf here in regards to John Souter. For me, he's a third or fourth choice centre back at a Rangers. That's what he should be. He's not good enough to be a starting centre half at Rangers. And you see the amount of mistakes that he's made this season. It's not just, one game. And I take the fact that he's playing wrong side, but when Davy Weir was 36 and a half when he came to Rangers, he played wrong side the entirety of his Rangers career, and we won three league titles back to back. So if you're a good player and you've got it up here, then it doesn't matter what position you play. Look at Dujon Sterling. He can play anywhere for Rangers and gives you 110%. His mistakes are minimal. But for me, John Souter just has that calamity in him. And I think it's because perhaps he's trying too hard. He feels that he's at a Rangers now where he's got to impress. So he's diving into a tackle where at Hearts he would maybe think twice about it. He's caught under the ball far too often for a centre-half. So many goals that we leak, which are cross balls, balls over the top. John Souter is very suspect, and it hasn't helped that Conor Goldson beside him hasn't been great. But for me, if John Souter is the answer, we're in trouble.
David, do you think, sorry Brian, before you come back in, David, or even Andrew, in fact, I'll put this to you because you brought up John Souter. Sure. Do you think he's possibly not as good as we thought he was? Because at Hearts he was quite a busy defender, because they get attacked an awful lot more than we do. So is he maybe one of these defenders that he's got a concentration issue? So when he's under pressure all the time, is he a better centre half than when he's sitting counting Polis half the game?
He certainly looked a better centre-half when, as I say, he was playing at the right side of a back three, basically. A bit like Big Mjalby used to be at Celtic when they did the back three under O'Neill. But, again, you can expose guys like that quite easily. I think he's comfortable in the back three, and I just don't know. I'd probably agree with Davey. I would say, well, I think he'd certainly be third choice in my side. You've got to go out and buy another left-sided centre-back because, as you say, Davies, Balogun both go, and I would think at the end of the season, I'd be happy to keep Balogun on in that right-sided berth now till the end of the season. Obviously, come on, there's not fancy, Ben Davies, or else, I'd have thought he would have played him, given how short we've been at the back. But there's certainly business to be done there, you guys, I think, in the summer with a left-sided centre-back.
Absolutely, Andrew. I've been one of my bugbears this season, the centre-half position. I just feel it's not strong enough. And like you, Andrew, I think that's going to get addressed in the summer. But thanks for calling. Nice to hear your voice again. Hear you back soon. It's amazing, Davey, isn't it? It's quite a polarizing topic, the Suter one now, isn't it? It's not everybody can sort of agree. There's people that are backing him, and there's people that are just not having it.
I just think as a club and as a fan base, we have to set standards, and we need to look at, we were in a position to win the league title, and it was in our own hands. What's cost us that? Defensive errors. Yeah, you could argue that we don't have a natural number nine, who's scored us enough goals, and perhaps that is the more contentious issue. But for me, if you're not going to score the goals, you've got to make sure that you don't lose them. And we have been making far too many mistakes. And statistics don't always tell you the story, because the league table will say that we have lost the least amount of goals as a league team this season, but there's so many mistakes that were avoidable. I look at the Old Firm games that we've lost this season, and I wouldn't say a great goal has defined any of them. They've all came from a Rangers era that led up to that. And don't get me wrong, Kyogo had two good finishes, but it was a Rangers mistake that allowed them the chance to get those two finishes. And I just think it's something that we need to address. For me, I don't see a Rangers starting centre-half that's currently at the club for next season. If it's John Suter, and I don't take the argument that he's playing wrong side or whatever, he's been in the team enough now that, he's played that position in left centre-back, so he should know it. But he's still making the same errors that he was. And in fact, the one game that he did play at right centre-back this season, I'm pretty sure he made a mistake in that. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's something that we need to address as a club going forward, and it'll still be a talking point going forward. I'm not convinced that Clement's going to stick with Suter and Balogun come the weekend. I think one of those two will play this weekend, and I think it'll be Balogun.
Very much so. I think, Wolf, this is one position that we're doing okay in the midfield. I think Davey spoke about Diamandé, flourishing in that sort of big pitch yesterday. Do you feel that's an area of the pitch that's the one that's required in the least sort of surgery?
Yeah, somebody's just made a point in the comments. You just scroll through it. I didn't catch who it was. So apologise for that, saying that our starting midfield's already at the club. That is if we can keep it fit. I mean, Diamandé for me was my man of the match yesterday. I mean, you're obviously giving it to Cyril Dessers. He scored two goals in a national semi-final, so that's all he did. He was getting man of the match, but for me, best player on the park for me was Diamandé. But that was partly because he had players beside him he could actually give the ball to. I mean, the midfield's been posted missing the last couple of games. Everybody's just, I mean, there wasn't a midfield. They just all ran. Dundee and Ross County basically just ran right through us. But yeah, the midfield, as long as we can get it fit and keep it fit. I mean, Diamandé, Cantwell, Lundstrom, we could argue all day about whether he gave Lundstrom a new contract. But the way the manager's talking, it sounds like he's going to get one. I know Davey wants to talk about him in a bit. But I mean, it does sound like the manager's quite sure that he's staying. So Davey, you want to talk to us about Mr. Lundstrom and your thoughts?
Yeah, so Davey, question for the panel. Why are we jumping on Suter's nutsack instead of celebrating reaching another cup final? I suppose I tried to get all the sort of the negative duff stuff out of the way first, and we'll come on to that. But it's a final come on, you know, that's his second final, you know, in a row. He's doing something right, isn't he?
Well, it's a great achievement to reach the final. Obviously, we've got the chance of doing, you know, a cup double. Kind of history repeating itself in the sense that last time we done a cup double, Celtic won the league. I hope that's not the case this season and we managed to do the treble. But you have to be honest and say that Celtic are certainly in the driving seat for the league. But I don't think that we're jumping on Suter's back. I mean, the caller raised the question, so we're asked to give an opinion, and I'm just going to be forthright. At Rangers, I want the best of everything, and we might not have the budget, but I just feel, in terms of the reason we've brought in Niles Coppin, is we think we can get better value for money. And the money that we spent last summer was not bang for buck in terms of the quality that we brought in. So if we're going to have a similar type of budget, or we regurgitate players enough to get a similar type of budget, then we've got to spend it better than we did last summer. And I think that's more the point. However, yep, great achievement to get into the Scottish Cup final, and obviously a stern test in Celtic.
Absolutely. And Rolf, 25th of May, Scottish Cup final. Usually it's always around the 20th, sort of around that sort of period of the month, last game of the season. I'm kind of hoping now that this is going to be the sort of, I think somebody mentioned in the comments earlier, is this going to be a sort of catalyst for the rest of the, you know, the league, the remaining league games?
Well, you've got to hope it's a lift. I mean, I don't think you can really put place any correlation between yesterday and the league form, because yes, it's a one-off, it's a cup tie. It's not like Hearts could come and sit in and say, well, we'll just come out here with a point, because that's not on the table. So they probably did have a go. As Davey says, it's a huge big pitch. Bizarrely, it's the same size as Ibrox, so it looks a lot bigger than that, but I believe they're the same size of pitches. So it's a completely different game. The league form's still shocking. And I mean, we've only won one league game since February. You know, I mean, we've shipped 10 points in the last five games, which is horrendous. We need to address that on Saturday, on Sunday, sorry, at St Mirren. So I don't know if you can say it's a booster. Hopefully, I'm hoping it is. I mean, we could win the next five league games and still not win the title, but if we do, then at least we've given it a go. We can't look any further than this, to be perfectly honest, Brian. I mean, it's all going to depend on who we can get fit, who we can keep fit. Because we have got a lot of players that are just treading water that probably know they're leaving the club, or that would like to leave the club. I'd like to think that there's been no concrete decisions made yet, and a lot of them will fight for the future, which should hopefully help us. We need favours from elsewhere as well, which has helped us out. As I say, we could win the last five games and still not win the title, unfortunately. But I don't think yesterday's going to.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Going to show any correlation at all in what the league form is going forward. Sunday will be a huge marker for that, depending on who he plays. Manager made a big thing about Dessert. He rested him against Dundee so that he was fresh for Sunday. So does that mean he's going to rest him again against St Mirren so he's fresh for Kilmarnock? Does it mean Roof comes in? You know, we just don't know what's going through the manager. Is he going to stick with what he's got? Because it's a one game week, if you like. There's no midweek games. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I sometimes think the way they mean, I think the manager's great, but I think he overplays this manager minutes. But I think, you know what I mean, if a player's, for example, you say players come back from injury, you've got to watch what you do with them. If they've got 60 minutes, give them 60 minutes. Start them and see what happens. Then we start them and take them off, by all means. I mean, losing Seymour yesterday could be critical for us going forward, because, I mean, hopefully that's nothing serious, but he walked off, he didn't limp off, he didn't look in too much distress. So hopefully it was just a case of, I felt something, get me off just in case. Because I'm sure he'd have been told, look, you're just back from injury, don't take any risks. If you feel it at all, give us a shout, we'll take you off. Because ideally, they'd have waited till half time to take him off. So hopefully that's nothing serious, and at most he misses one game, because we're certainly going to need him coming. We're certainly going to need him going forward, because he offers us not only just a threat down the wing, he also offers us a threat up front. He scores goals, and he needs a run of games. I'd like to think that, you know, possibly misses out against St Mirren and comes back for the last five games of the season.
Very much so. 0141 628 7237. Do what Andrew did and phoned in and get your point across for whatever is on your mind. Davey, one guy we'll speak about now is obviously the goal scorer yesterday, Cyril Dessers. Two goals. He still gets a lot of pelters, doesn't he? He's a very polarizing player just now. You know, a lot of people are just not having him. Folk are trying to back him and say, no, he's scoring the goals, isn't he?
He's scoring the goals, Brian, but I think he's scoring the goals when the pressure is off. And I'm not saying that the pressure wasn't on yesterday, but the way Hearts lined up yesterday, they changed the way they played. They normally play a back three and they switched to a four. And Stephen Naismith's comments before the game on Friday was that he felt Rangers were worth having a go at. So that kind of puts Hearts a bit under pressure to start with. And that's a different type of pressure that they players had to handle. And they failed that. Cyril Dessers, any time we've needed him to score when the pressure was really on, and I'm talking about Old Firm games, and then I'm talking about against Ross County when he had the chance to kill the game at 2-0, and they would never get back in it at that point. Their heads would have dropped. That was a chance to kill the game. He just doesn't do it. You can't rely on him. He's not consistent enough. Again, like we were having with the argument with the centre-halves, our front players, you know, aren't good enough to take us forward. And obviously, I'm taking Seema out of that, you know, because he's not actually our player, you know. But from those that are there, we need better if we're going to improve next season. And Dessers isn't the answer. And to waste that amount of money on a guy that's 29, going to be turning 30, I just can't forgive the board for that, because you could have spent that on better quality. I look at Miofsky, who for me is the best striker in the league by a distance, and yet he's maybe had a barren spell in front of goal. But you look what he brings to such a poor side this season in Aberdeen. Imagine what he would do at Rangers, and I just don't understand it at all. He'll always polarise and split opinion, but for me, again, it's up here, standards. Dessers isn't good enough for Rangers.
And Will, for you, are you firmly on in the same boat as Davey, or have you got an otherwise opinion?
Can't really argue with any of that, to be fair. I quite like Dessers. He seems like a nice guy. But as I've said all my life since I've known anything about football, nice guys don't win trophies. Ali McCoy's a nice guy, not a great manager, because he's a nice guy. I mean, Cyril Dessers seems to be a really nice guy. You talk to him, you know, you hear him in interviews, he seems like a really, really, really nice guy. Nice guys can't be nasty strikers to me. You know what I mean? You need to be. He scores. I mean, Davey's right. The chance he missed in Dingwall is inexcusable. You know what I mean? I mean, the thing was nearly in the hotel next door. He hit it that far out the ground. You know? I mean, it's inexcusable missing like that. And the goals he scored yesterday were great, but look, I mean, he missed a couple of good chances as well. You know? And what sums him up for me yesterday, he's on a hat-trick, right, and he squares the ball to Silva. Now, okay, Silva got caught by a sniper or a blade of grass or tackled by the invisible man or whatever happened. I don't know what he did, right? But possibly part of that was he's thinking, this guy's on a hat-trick. He's a number nine. He's shooting. I mean, there's, what, 5-10 minutes left of the game. Game's done. He's on a hat-trick. He's going to shoot. He's too nice a guy. I mean, I believe Ali McCoy said in the commentary, you better believe I'm shooting there. You know what I mean? Because a bad-ass striker, if you want to use that expression for it, right? He's only worrying about himself, getting the numbers up. The game's won. I'm having the glory. I'm going for this. Probably Dessers is thinking, well, he's in a better position, which is the right thing to do. Hmm. But then obviously it's pointing for what Silva did. But I'd say part of it's probably because he wasn't expecting the ball to get past him. Because a striker that's the type of striker we need is going to have a go at that and say, right, I want all this glory for myself. You know, I think Dessers is, he's probably too nice a guy to be a striker at the level we really need him. mean, having said that, he scored loads of goals in Europe for Feyenoord before he came to us, which is probably why he ended up coming to us. I mean, he knows where the goal is, but we need better than him if we want to. I mean, arguably we could keep the Essers as number nine next year and win the league in Scotland, because Scottish football's not all that. But if we want to progress as a football club, which means we have to do something in Europe, the Essers isn't the man for that.
Absolutely, yeah. I kind of agree with that. Yes, we've got Robert on the line. Robert, how are you doing?
Good, relaxed for a change.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I finally feel relieved that the team seemed to actually turn up yesterday. I think that's the first time that I've actually seen them for, I don't know, this season anyway. Has something changed in that game? Because they were playing a lot better.
What did you think changed though?
The pace of the game was perfect. We were clinical up front, and the fans believed in us all the way through. The fans never didn't believe for 1 second that we were up against anything against us, because we haven't been all season. Hmm. They're not in our league.
Yeah, Davey, you felt that as well, didn't you?
Yeah, just touching on Robert the caller's point there, I don't think you can question the commitment of the fan base. The Rangers fan base have been fantastic this season, even tried to, you know, pull us through a hole in the recent Old Firm game at Ibrox, where, you know, they were still cheering the boys on at 2-0 down and got us back into it. So I take that point aside. But in terms of the game, I think the pitch suited us yesterday. And I think something that Hearts will regret is changing the formation, because it's hard to adapt when you play the same system every week and then you go to change it for a game. Now, Stephen Naismith obviously seen us as potential cannon fodder in that game and thought he could have a go at us, but he's two sort of holding midfield players sat off us and allowed our players to play, and Diamandé and Cantwell. And as the game wore on, you could see they tired and Cantwell get more space, and he started to exploit Hearts and key areas of the pitch going forward. And from about 70 minutes onwards, bar the one chance after that, Hearts were never really troubling us. It was comfortable. We saw the game out. And I think that's certainly something that Hearts will regret. From a Rangers perspective, I still think we played within ourselves. I don't think we were particularly great, but that could just be us getting our confidence back. You hope now we take this as a shot in the arm going forward into St Mirren. And again, is apply as much pressure as we can before Celtic next play. Whether we do or not is a different story, because every time we've had a chance to apply pressure, you could go far back as the Motherwell game to see that we faltered before they then went to Tynecastle. But there's no room for error now, and we must sort of try and put teams to the sword and put them to sword early doors.
Exactly.
Yeah, very much. Is that what you were thinking as well, Andrew? Yeah, Robert, sorry.
Just get the fastest, strongest players we've got up front and let them all run at them.
What about the...
This is the first time the team's just starting to look fit this season.
And what about the fitness with Sima? Do you think that's going to be a bad one, or do you think it's just going to be a precaution?
Precaution.
Hopefully. Absolutely, hopefully. And what about the suitor sort of not playing right centre half, Robert? Did you think that was a bad idea, or
no? But listen, to be honest with you, as soon as I looked at the team sheet and seen they finally dropped Goldson, I relaxed.
Yeah,
that means that someone's listening to the fans then.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for that. Much appreciated calling again. One player I'm going to speak about, Wolf, is the captain. A lot of people are, again, saying that there was some quarters saying that he played well, or some quarters saying he didn't. Do you think he played better without his pal being beside him?
I think he possibly played better because he wasn't worrying about what was going to happen beside him, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? He wasn't... but also because he's somebody in front of him that he could rely on. You know, he had a bit more support in front of him. He wasn't just wave after wave of attack coming down on top of him. But yeah, I think that the Goldson thing, I don't know whether they're too familiar together or they're waiting for each other to make mistakes, or, you know what I mean? It's whether he knows that, no, for a start, he knows Barlane's got more pace than Goldson. So if he's going forward and he loses the ball, Tavernier's not as quick as he used to be. So he knows that, you know, that Balogun can get across to cover him if he has to. So he'll probably take more risks going forward, I would imagine, you know. And there you go, Paul making a point as well. Balogun constantly talking to him. I don't know. I mean, obviously, because I'm at the game, you can't really see the communication between the players on the pitch. So I don't know if he constantly talks to Goldson all the time or not, or if Goldson tries to be the main man all the time. I don't really know, but he certainly seemed to play a lot better without Goldson there. It may have been another reason that Balogun was placed directly in for Goldson, so that he can talk to both the captain and John Souter. You know what I mean? Talk them. I mean, I don't know why Balogun would be talking them through the game, because they're both experienced players, but you could argue that Tavernier played better, you know, because Goldson wasn't there, but no, still not something we're probably ever going to find out.
No, and do you believe, Davey, that he was put in there purely to sort of be the glue between Souter and Tav Balogun?
I think what we were worried about was Hearts' pace on the counter and Vargas and Forrest, and I think, as Wolf touched on there, it's Balogun's recovery pace. We both know that Tav hasn't got the greatest sort of stridey pace anymore. But if you looked at Tav's starting position yesterday, it was a bit deeper than I expected him to play for a normal Rangers game. He was a bit more reserved, and we didn't allow Hearts the space to get in behind us too often. The sort of joy that they did get in behind was in behind Souter early in the second half for about a 15-minute spell. They exploited that. But in terms of Alan Forrest and Vargas, they didn't really challenge our fullbacks as much as I was expecting. And I think that's a lot to do with Hearts just sitting off us in general, because Beningame and Cammy Devlin weren't close enough to Shanklin to get in support. So we were comfortable in territory in our own half. And you've seen that because John Lundstrom had so much time to play the ball out. Don't get me wrong, he made a backside it 3 or 4 times. And the one thing I do take issue with is John Lundstrom trying that ridiculous back heel in a dangerous area of the pitch. And within 2 passes, we've lost that in a key area of the pass. I mean, he's no Jim Baxter, he's no Davy Cooper, he's no Brian Loudrop. We're 1-0 up in a cup semi-final and he's doing that. For me, it's just the standards, you know, and John Lundstrom for me has fallen off a cliff in the last 4 or 5 weeks and has to come under the microscope. But perhaps we'll touch on that before the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Excuse me. So, Wolf, the Dujon Sterling played left back, obviously, because Ridvan wasn't there. He's obviously not a left back. It's a tough position for him, but as we've found out all this season, he's played right wing, he's played centre mid, he's played, I think, centre half, he's probably played right back, he's played everywhere bar goalkeeper, and he keeps producing the goods, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was at left back again yesterday. He played a lot better yesterday than he did at Dens Park, but then that's not really a barometer, because there wasn't any of them played well at Dens Park, to be perfectly honest. Probably because, as Davey says, Hearts just sat off us. You know what I mean, and they didn't really offer too much going forward. They didn't try and put balls in behind us. I mean, I was getting quite frustrated that we weren't really pushing up on Hearts, but I get why we didn't do it, because we didn't push up on them, so they couldn't get in behind us, and they didn't push up on us, so that we couldn't get in behind them. Because defensively, they're as bad as we are. I mean, their right hand side is actually, from what I've seen, their right hand side is actually worse than ours, which is quite an achievement, to be perfectly honest. You know, and for me, Brian, the biggest difference yesterday was the midfield. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a midfield that it basically helped the defence, that every time we got the ball, it didn't go backwards. I mean, Diamandé and Cantwell kept looking to go forward. Okay, as Davey rightly said, Lundstrom nearly sold the jerseys a couple of times, but the other two in the middle of the park, they look to go forward. They're always looking to put the ball forward. I mean, I saw a thing on X today, somebody said about Diamandé, with feet like that, he should be on Dancing on Ice, and they're probably right. I mean, he can shuffle his way out of a phone box with the ball at his feet, you know, and that's what you need, because it wins you the ball in tight spaces. And the when we play teams with a compact midfield, you need somebody that can do that. And Diamondi did that with aplomb yesterday, and he got his possession of the ball, and he was always looking to put it forward. And for once, he actually had some support. You know, I mean, I'm not particularly a tactical guy. I'm not one of these guys that goes into positions, but I've heard it on a couple of different podcasts today that for once we had a 6, an 8 and a 10. I mean, I know Davey will be able to expand on what that means, you know, positionally, but it looks like we had a structure through the middle of the park that actually pushed us forward, which takes the pressure off the defence, which also helps the left-back because he's not under so much pressure. You know what I mean? It also lets Snelling, but I'd get Snelling out of left-back as quickly as possible because we really need him in the middle of the park.
And Davey, Wolf, giving you the big hype up there with positions and tactics, is that our best sort of three midfield then in the 6, the 10 and the 8?
Not for me, and I think Diamandé is certainly our best number 8, a quality footballer, as I say, can receive the ball anywhere in the pitch, and he does always look to play forward, and a bit like Glenn Kamara, he can take it in tight spaces anywhere in the pitch, but unlike Glenn Kamara, he'll do it in the areas of the pitch that'll matter and punish teams, whereas Glenn Kamara done it in a far too deep position on the field. So I think that can only benefit us going forward. And I don't mean to be like the man that is the doomsday destructor on the podcast this evening. It sort of seems that I'm that way. But for me, if we're playing Celtic tomorrow, I don't think we can have John Lundstrom playing as the 6 or the holding defensive midfield player in midfield. He's not got the legs to do it for Rangers. And I think far too many of us have been deceived by John Lundstrom. He has that sort of 8 weeks of purple patch every 2 years, and then he falls off a cliff. And I'm going to analyse it by John Lundstrom has started 13 Old Firm games for Rangers. How many do you think Rangers have won since John Lindstrom's been in the midfield for Rangers? And I mean starting. Right. Right. We've won 2. We won 1 in 90 minutes and we won 1 after extra time. So it's 2 in 13. That's a horrendous record. These are the games where you're supposed to win the midfield battle. And John Lindstrom, for me, is too slow to play the position for us. If you look at the Old Firm and the game itself, in our opposition, they've got 3 players that are all of a decent age, that can all move quick and are all decent footballers. We need to match that. And I think if we've got Diamandé and Sterling in the middle, it gives us a better chance than Diamandé and Lundstrom, because Lundstrom can't get tight and close the ball. He's not got enough pace to cover that game and last that. He doesn't get as forward in the pitch, whereas if Sterling broke with the ball and won it in a key area, you would expect him to run 10, 15 yards and take you higher up the pitch. Lundstrom looks to play sideways. He also gets in the way of your centre-halves because he comes far too deep to take the ball off them. And that slows us down again because it allows the opposition to gain territory on you. And for me, if we're looking to progress and if we're going to Parkhead and looking to win, I don't think we'll win the game with John Lundstrom playing as a 6.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. Yeah. You did say you were going to go after Lundstrom, and you've done that very well. 0141628-7237. Get some calls in. Martin's looking a bit lonely back there. He needs a bit of love back there. And folk to phone him. So get in touch. Get in touch and get your point across. Hey, Wolf,
He needs a hairdresser, Brian. Never mind a bit of love. He needs a hairdresser.
Well, yeah, exactly. But that's been an ongoing issue for a long time.
Indeed.
One person we haven't spoken about, Wolf, was the goalkeeper, Jack Butland. 2 occasions yesterday, he made outstanding saves from pretty much point blank. kept us in the, well, kept us ahead. And, you know, if one of those went in or both, then we could have possibly been in trouble. But Jack Butland does what Jack Butland does.
The first one I did, I mean, the enormous disservice, it was just in front of me, because obviously we were defending the West stand, as I know the Rangers haters like us to call it, because they shouldn't be a Rangers end at Hampden, apparently, but we were defending the Rangers end, and I was up in the corner of the lower south stand, so it was basically right in front of me. And when I think it was the boy Beningame, I think was up there for my set piece or whatever, and it looked to me like the ball just hit Butland and went away. And I turned to Demi and says, "You don't need to be good if you're lucky," but I've seen it back, and that was a tremendous save, an absolutely top draw save. I mean, I don't care how they stay out, as long as they stay out, but that really was a top draw save. And the one towards the end was just typical Jack Butland. And okay, that would have made it 2-1, we probably still have won the game, but at least it meant we could relax for the last few minutes of the game, because had they scored, I wouldn't have fancied hanging on for the last 3 or 4 minutes, because, you know, we know what we're like under pressure. I mean, we weren't under any pressure. 2-0 with 10 minutes to go. We're absolutely coasting. If that one goes in, it's squeaky bum time, and I don't really like squeaky bum time. So I'm quite glad he kept it. But that's what he does. I mean, that's the mark of a good Rangers goalkeeper. You know what I mean? Standing doing virtually nothing for long spells of the game, and then pulling stuff like that out of the bag. And that's what he's here for. And that's probably the reason that he won't still be here next season. But that's a completely different discussion on a completely different pod and a completely different day.
Very much so. But Davey is like me, well, for me, we've seen goalkeepers of the likes of Chris Woods and Andy Gorhams and Clauses and McGregors over the years. And all of them have had maybe not a lot to do in a game, but there's that one moment, that one save that you have to be switched on and concentrate. And Jack Butland seems to fall in that category quite easily, doesn't he?
He's had a tremendous season, but the marquee Rangers goalkeeper for me, and this is me playing devil's advocate here, Brian, is the fact that he has to do it in an Old Firm game, and he has to win one of the next two. Hopefully he wins both, but he's probably been hindered by what's been in front of him. I think he's had a fantastic season, and for me, he's been our player of the year, and rightly so. Nobody can contest that. But Rangers goalkeepers make their name in the big fixture, and I feel he kind of, not that he owes us a performance in that, but I would expect a performance from him in that, you know, one that wins us an Old Firm game, because years gone by, our goalkeepers have won us these games. I remember back to the Andy Gorham one, the 9-0 season, where Brian Laudrup scores early doors, Paul Gascoigne misses a penalty, and they get a penalty with minutes to go, and Gorham makes that save. I feel Butland needs that Old Firm moment, almost just to, you know, validate yourself as a Rangers goalkeeper. Now, don't get me wrong, whether he does or doesn't, he'll still be your player of the year this season, but I think there's context in that. And that if you want to be a Rangers goalkeeper and be a Rangers goalkeeper long term, you have to win the big trophies and you have to win the big games also. I do agree with what Wilf was alluding to, and it will be an argument for a different podcast. He'll probably be the person that's used to sort of refresh the Rangers squad if a handsome bid comes in for him in the summer. But he certainly had a very good season, and I don't have any qualms against him. I'm just, as I say, posing the question, does he need to do it in an Old Firm game?
Wolf?
Davey, I hope you're 100% wrong and he doesn't do it, because I hope he's got nothing to do in the next two Old Firm games and we absolutely steamroller him, and he's sitting there with a cigar and a brandy. But you're right. It probably is, because he's probably been busier than a lot of Rangers goalkeepers in games like that because of what's in front of him. And he does need to have that moment. And I mean, hopefully that moment's going to be in the last minute of the Scottish Cup final to secure us a treble.
And Philip, don't worry, I spotted your... Oh, sorry. Paul, Matondo starting. Yeah, I thought that was a strange one, Davey, Matondo starting. I wasn't... I don't know if I was expecting it, or I was just more stumped that Goldson didn't start. I totally forgot about, you know, Matondo starting. I mean, I wasn't sort of fully focused on that one, because, as I say, it was Goldson that threw me completely, and that was all the talk yesterday. But sort of Matondo went under the sort of radar, didn't he?
Well, I think Clement's idea was, again, going back to the pitch argument, and thought that Matondo's pace might be able to exploit Hearts with the fact that it's a bigger pitch than they're used to. We know Tynecastle's much more condensed, so a game like that in Dens Park midweek wouldn't have suited them, but the Hampden pitch perhaps would have. You also need to take into account Fabio Silva deserved to be dropped. He's been horrendous the last three or four games. In fact, I'll go as far to say that his only positive performance in recent weeks was away at Benfica, and he hasn't really kicked a ball since then. So Rabi Matondo, for me, is an impact player, and an impact player only. He is off the bench in the last sort of 25 minutes of a game as teams tire and you use them. You've also got to have the type of pitch to be able to use them where you can play the ball in behind, or there's a tiring fullback that you can have a go at. Not every type of game will suit them. I think we're running out of options because the manager's tried Scott Wright, and he had two sort of appearances where he was subbed at half time and he's never been seen again. Seema, we hope, is not injured. So I think that'll be the contentious sort of selections come the weekend. Who will play there? I think the manager will probably look to refresh it somehow, whether that be, if Ridvan's back, then perhaps Sterling might move into one of those positions, because I can't see him dropping Lindstrom as much as I would like that to happen. I don't think that will happen. Ross McCausland, for me, is a very frustrating player. The one thing about Ross McCausland for me is he works very hard, and he does try his best, and he does try and work hard off the ball and recover as well. But he doesn't have the physicality for me. And when he gets in the key areas of the pitch, especially out wide, his choice of pass really frustrates me. He doesn't look up and lift his head. He just sort of hits and hopes and panics in the moment. And I don't think he's the answer long term either. So I think the manager's got a great selection headache at the weekend for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And Philip's question, Wolf, Fabio Silva is the elephant in the room. Don't understand why he's never discussed. So we'll discuss him now. More of a diver than a worker. Why would you play act when there's VAR? Yeah, so Mr. Silva has been hitting the headlines for the wrong reasons last few games, Wolf. As Phil says, there's VAR now. There's really no point, is there?
No, he goes down. I mean, he goes down far too easy. And he should know by now in Scotland, even if, you know, he's getting touched and he's going down, we don't get those fouls. Even if it is a foul, we just simply don't get them. He should know that by now. I mean, when he got booked against Celtic, when we eventually got the penalty, I understand why the referee did that, because he just had an outrageous dive 2 minutes before it. And the ref's like, well, you're not going to con me, and if I'm wrong, VAR will bail me out. You know what I mean? And why you would go down that easy when there's VAR, I don't know. It's probably what he does. Probably, to me, Silva's a luxury player. I mean, the one he had yesterday, I've got the one yesterday wasn't a dive. He fell over. I've got no idea what happened to him. I don't know whether a sniper got him, or let's say the invisible man tackled him, or what. I don't know. It was just, I'd love to know an explanation for what actually happened to him. I mean, if biomechanics, I don't know what it was. It was something ridiculous. But the times he's gone down easy, I don't understand why he would do that, because there is VAR, and you're going to get yourself a reputation, and he's got that reputation already, and he's only been here 5 minutes, really. You know, I mean, talking about doing things when there's VAR, the one that I certainly didn't talk about, because I wasn't on the pod last week, was when Silva put the ball in the net against Ross County with his hand. I get it's a natural risk. Why would you do that? Because there's VAR, you're never ever getting away with it these days. You know what I mean? So it's things like that, and Silva going down easy, and you know, it's, I don't understand why they do it. And all we do is get us a reputation, and the referee does what happened to him against Celtic straight away, yellow card. And on that point, I think if the referee hadn't yellow carded him, VAR wouldn't have looked at it, we probably wouldn't have got the penalty. So he possibly did us a favour by having the outrageous dive just before it, but that's all conjecture. We don't really know, but he has to stop it. I mean, why? What possessed anybody to pay £35 million for him? I've got no idea. Absolutely none. I mean, supposing Wolves said they want £3.5 million for him, I wouldn't be buying it. You know what I mean? Not a chance.
It's a strange one, Davey, isn't it? He's obviously a quality player, because, you know, you certainly don't get signed for £35 million. But the you know, to do what he does. I mean, yesterday, I think he didn't expect the pass and it just went slightly behind him and he fell over himself. So I'll maybe cut him a little bit of slack yesterday. But, you know, he's got that tag now. And once you've got that tag in Scottish football, you can't get rid of it, can you?
No, it's very hard to shake. But I think Dewan in the comments has made a very good point in the sense that there's a player at the opposition side in the east end of Glasgow that does it all the time and doesn't nearly get as enough media attention that Fabio Silva has. And Kyogo's done it the whole season and the whole entirety of the time he's been here. Yet you'll never see him labelled with that tag because it seems to be the mainstream media's stance that they don't want to attack Celtic players, but they'll certainly have a go at ours. Now, we'll rightly condemn Fabio Silva in the way that he throws himself down at times. I agree, Brian. I don't think yesterday was a dive attempt. I just think that he couldn't sort his feet out quick enough and maybe got caught ahead of the ball, tried to slow himself down and just made a backside of it. I think that's just been his performances of late. It's just not clicking at all. And whilst you've been spent for that sort of, or somebody spent that sort of money on you, that comes with a pressure. And as we've seen with certain players that are in our dressing room, some of these players just can't handle the pressure when it's on. And Rangers is a club where every game matters, every point matters, right to the final whistle. And some players just can't handle that environment. I think we flourished with our best vein of form this season when the pressure was off and there was no expectancy. The minute the fans started singing about winning the league, that's when the pressure was really on and that's where we've seen a drop-off. And I just hope that's not the case because potentially there's still two trophies to win. Certainly one's more achievable than the other because, as I say, with a three-point gap in the league and five goals in it, that's a two-game swing with five games to go. So that's going to be unrealistic. I'd love us to win it, but it's against us. And I just think certain players, when the pressure's really on, falter. And for me, Fabio Silva is one of those.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Come on, folks, get your call in. We'll squeeze in one more in. 01416287237. Give us a buzz and anything you want. It's up to you. Wolf, we'll speak about the importance of Diamandé now. He's obviously come back in, and you know, as you both have said, that you know, he was very important yesterday, and he's probably our best number eight now. As far as the league's running concerned, and then obviously the final, he's going to be very important now, isn't he? Because his energy in that midfield is very crucial.
Yeah, as we touched on earlier, I mean. He can win a ball and take it out of phone box. You know, he's that good with the ball at his feet. He can get out of tight spaces, and he always looks to go forward. But he needs people around about him to give the ball to. It's all very well saying, okay, he's doing that, but if he's constantly getting closed down and he hasn't got an out ball, because there's been games, not just him, but you know, anybody playing in another number eight position, they've had the ball, they look up and there's nowhere they can go but backwards, which is why we play the ball back quite a lot. He needs movement. Catwell was brilliant for him yesterday. What would be ideal for him for the running would be getting Ryan Jack fit, because Ryan Jack, I think, would be fantastic. But unfortunately, that isn't going to happen. So, you know, we need, that's probably why we're going to have to play Lundstrom in there, and somebody needs to tell him, look, you're allowed to go forward. You know what I mean? Diamandé will get the ball, and he needs to have somebody to give it to. He needs to have some legs beside him to give it to, because he can't do it all himself. He simply can't. He'll win the ball, and he's not the type of player, I don't, from what I've seen, you know, to get the ball and to try and ping it into space, because we don't run into space. I'd love it if Diamandé was one of these players that got the ball, stood on it, and went, right, I'm just throwing this into the corner flag because somebody's going to be there. Because we don't really have somebody there. Matondo doesn't run into space like that. Scott Wright doesn't run into space like that. It's not really Seema's game either. You know, so he needs somebody in beside him. But he's going to be absolutely, if we can keep Diamandé fit, I think we'll run the midfield in the remaining six games, given the opposition that we've got. And that could be absolutely crucial. And Davey, I didn't realise it was only a 5-point goal, 5 points in goal difference. I thought there was more than that. So if it's only 5 points, match them stride for stride, put three past them at Parkhead, titles else.
And Davey, your thoughts on Diamandé, you know, his importance to the team and, you know, the end of the season?
was a very cultured footballer. And I think in the games in which we dominate the ball, he could be the sort of key in unlocking defences. And as we've seen at McDermott Park earlier in the season, if he can get himself in the right positions, then he's a good bet for a goal as well, because he's comfortable on either foot. What I think is key, or what will be the key fixture, obviously, will be the fixture at Parkhead. And I think you need to put legs in beside him. And I don't think it will cut it with just having Lundstrom beside him. For me, it's got to be Sterling. And that's the reason that Sterling will have to do all the dirty work and help him. And we'll need to be brave in that game and win the ball high up the pitch so that Diamandé can affect the game in the right areas, because it's no good us winning the ball off of a Kyogo or a O'Reilly inside our own half. We have to win the ball higher up so that we can turn them in transition quick and put them under pressure. It's the only way we're going to win. If you watch how teams put pressure on Celtic, it's always when you press them high, and you press them high right onto the edge of their box, because their goalkeeper is not comfortable at playing the ball out. They're also susceptible to cross balls. And I think if you saw Diamandé's last couple of games that he played before he picked up the injury, he started taking corners. And for me, it's been the most effective corners that we've had all season, because he put them right on the penalty spot. And I think it's something else that he's got in his locker. We can't always have Tav hitting every set piece. We've got to try and sort of evolve a bit. And for me, I think Diamandé is that sort of creative type that we need going forward.
Absolutely. And I'll throw this one last to you, Davey. Lunny, I seen something today about a possible new contract. Is that something you would want, or is that not a thing you want? I know the answer.
John Lundstrom in a new contract at Rangers, for me, won't cut it, Brian. I think we've still yet to win a league title since he's been here. And if we don't win the league title this year, that'll be 3 years he's been here. And we were champions when he arrived, and we've not been champions during his whole duration. Now, I'm not putting that all at John Lundstrom's door, but the way you want to play football and attractive attacking football, he's not the type of player that I think is going to be what we need. He slows the game down far too much. He wants to pick the ball up in areas that of a comfort to him in front of the centre halves and play sideways passes. We need to progress and evolve as a team, and John Lundstrom is not the answer for that for me.
And we've got our last caller of the night. Jordan is waiting. Jordan, how you doing?
Hi guys, how you doing? All right?
Not bad, you?
Yeah, I'm in Edinburgh. Have a good night tonight.
Good stuff.
I'm a good day. Good Blue Nose for Ayrshire. Just a few days off in the capital. Nice. I just want to talk about mentality of the club, basically. I don't understand how you can go from two supposedly easy games against Ross County and Dundee to beating a good, decent team at Hearts in the semi-final, to be fair. Absolutely frustrates me that the team's got this sort of mentality issue where we can blow it against the so-called easier teams but win it against a so-called harder team, to be fair. I'm glad we're through. I'm still confident we'll beat them in the final. I just wanted the panel's view and to say that, where do you think this team's going to go with mentality issues at the end of the day? And should that be something that's looked at for the final, for the season next year?
Wolf, mentality issue is something that's cropped up a few times over the last few weeks. Is that an issue that you feel needs addressed quite quickly?
Yeah, I mean, call it mentality issue, call it scar tissue. You know, there's too many players that have been there, done it, and quite frankly, let us down when they go and gets tough. There's too many, you know, there's. I don't know whether they're into the Ross County game thinking they've never beat us. You know, this is just they're bottom six, they're sitting bottom of the league. We can do this, no problem at all. But shouldn't have happened, given that, was it last season, the season before, we were up there and we were lucky to get there with a 3-3 draw, and half that team were involved in that game. So, you know, I think it possibly is a mentality issue with some of them, and it needs to be addressed. But I mean, we've basically spent the last 2 weeks on all pods and on all the socials and the group chat saying, look, we need a huge overhaul of the squad. And the huge overhaul of the squad's got to start with a lot of these players who have been there, done it, and quite frankly, let us down in games like Ross County, like Dundee. As Davey said earlier, the best we've played this season is when the league was done and the new manager, the new manager bounced for Mr. Clement came in, but it carried on a little bit because the league was done. Then we got back into it, and we were in the box seat, and then we just collapsed. We just fell apart.
Yeah. Jordan, do you think the new manager is going to address that mentality issue in the summer and get players that he wants, that he believes is going to move us forward?
I've got every confidence he will, to be fair. I think unlike Gerard, Gio, and certainly Beal in the day, I think he's got the mentality in him to guide this squad forward and get him to winning trophies again, you know, in the day. He's got something else that they have in the go, and that's winning trophies at the end of the day, to be fair. But my only problem, I know he's made a couple of mistakes, you know, picking teams and all that, and in the day, but I think, I think we can go on the right track, but as long as we don't make too many mistakes. But that's a problem we've made for the last three seasons, and it absolutely infuriates me that we're still making these mistakes. However, I've got to say, the fact they dropped Goldson yesterday against Hearts was something that really made me quite happy and proud to say that, you know, even if we don't, if we lose it in league this season, we'll get it going for next season, by the way, because he's a guy that takes no shit, and I really mean that. It's whether or not we have the consistency. That's another thing that remains to be seen. But I'm confident we can retain the title next season. You know, it's not over this season as well, but I think that the last couple of games that we made, you know, could prove a point at the end of the day to say that, we're not going to win it. But, you know, Clement's human at the end of the day, he'll make mistakes. But I've got faith next season that this squad will actually get together and, you know, and go on a good run, seeing many title league trophies as we can. But that all depends on whether we get rid of the majority of this squad. And that's the key thing at the end of the day. Because I think if we don't get rid of the majority of this squad, then it can be a real, real struggle next season. But if we do and we bring the right players in, which I trust Clement to do, then I'm confident. I really am confident.
Yeah, Davey, he makes a lot of good points there, doesn't he? It's the fact that there's players there, as Wolf says, that have let us down time after time. We were, you know, not cruising, but we were doing very well. And as soon as we got our noses ahead, it seemed the players switched off. Again, the mentality just went, didn't it? And I've got full confidence in Clement in the summer that he's going to hopefully get rid of the players that he wants to get rid of and get the ones in that he wants to keep.
Well, that's it, Brian. But we also have scar tissue. And what Jordan was saying there about the managers, obviously, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst won one trophy, but he didn't stay around much longer after that. And the reason for that was because he didn't do well in the Old Firm games. And for me, Clement has to win one of the last two, or he's put himself really under pressure. Because as we know, the first game of next season will be at Parkhead. So he has to win, you know, one of the next three, or he's really under pressure. And that's how fickle life is as an Old Firm supporter, unfortunately. Beating Celtic is all that matters and winning the league.
He's got to win both of them. He's got to win both of them, my opinion.
Yeah.
He's got to win both of them.
Well, it's a fair point, Jordan, but I think he'll obviously get the time. But for me, he has to win one of the last two anyway, because the longer you go a barren spell in this fixture, you don't stay in Glasgow long enough to see the end of it.
No, I know you don't. And the thing is, I don't think they're even that good. Aberdeen slotted them on Saturday, to be fair. As I say, I don't think they're even that good. But the thing is, in the day, we've got a habit of fucking bottling games like that and crucial games where we should be winning it. We've got confidence to win it. And that's where Rangers really, really, really failed in the past, not even a couple of seasons, but the last 12, 15 seasons, to be fair. So this is where we need to draw a line, get into it, get right at that a lot and say, we're Rangers at the end of the day. We should be winning trophies. And that's the be-all and end-all. If you're not here or you don't want to win trophies at Rangers, you shouldn't back the club at the end of the day. That's the be-all and the end-all. And that's what a lot of Rangers players need to realise at the end of the day. And if not, they're obviously not good enough. They don't deserve to play for Rangers. So I think we need to cut out this nonsense about, you know, the fact that, oh, we can maybe come second, we can win the World Cup again. No, I don't want that at the end of the day. I want to be winning the league, win as many trophies as possible, and be the best team in Scotland. That's the only end of the day with playing Rangers.
Jordan, I nodded my head through all that, 100% agree. Please call back in again. Thanks for your call. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Lots of great points.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers. Thank you. That's it, folks. We're in extra time and extra time and more. We're nearly into penalties. But my thanks to Davey and Wolf for joining me tonight and getting us through the phone-in. It was much, much appreciated, guys.
Brian, you've done it again. You forgot to tell people we'll be back in 20 minutes.
Have I frozen, have I?
No, we'll be back
yes,
in 20 minutes.
Yes, of course, minutes. We've got the show coming up, yes. 9 p.m. We've got the ladies pod at 9 o'clock. There's myself, Wolf, and Laura. I believe poor Carr is not well, so she's having to miss out. So it'll be the three of us. But we've got the game to speak about, and we'll speak about it then. I'm not going to give anything away now. I did it the last time. So I'll tune in and watch it, and you'll find out what we're going to speak about. But my thanks to Wolf and Davey for joining me tonight.
Cheers, Brian.
And folks, we shall see you again very, very soon.
Podcast Network.